Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
I want to play a couple of clips because what we noticed with this doctor that went to sit in front of Congress is that he pled the fifth, didn't have a lot of answers. Let's look at some of the outrage that we're seeing for this. And Comer had a couple of things to say about it, too. Can we play clip number three?
This was an opportunity for Dr. O'Connor to defend his reputation, to defend his work, and he chose to take the fifth. What Dr. O'Connor did today only added fuel to the fire, that there was a cover-up and that Joe Biden wasn't mentally fit to serve as President of the United States.
Yeah, you know, I can understand that he may have some allegiance to Joe Biden. You may feel like he has to do this sort of thing, but I think we moved past it. I think it's time to stop the cover-up. He's decided to be part of the cover-up. Joining us now is Paul Morrow. Hey, thank you, Paul, for joining us here in St. Louis.
Thank you for having me, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I was looking at your latest piece there, Biden's doctor pleads the fifth, and I wanted to ask you about that. You're summoned to be in front of the House subcommittee. You want to answer questions about the health of the president of the United States, mostly his mental capabilities during that time. I think it's very relevant. I think it's questions that the American people deserve to hear. You're not going to get it from him, though. America wants to confront this, and I think a lot of people want these sort of answers. What do you think happens when we don't get any answers?
Well, nothing good, because what it does is it just plays into all the worst conspiracy theories that you hear relative to, the answers we're not getting, and they spin out of control, and people conjure all kinds of malevolent theories as to who really was running the country, who's really, I mean, I hear it now, you know, I hear it relative to the Epstein stuff, that good men like Keshe Patel and Dan Bongino are now part of the deep state, and it's just nonsense, and so in a vacuum in politics, unfortunately, it's filled with conspiracy theories, but you know, this doctor seems to be quite adamant about just not coming across. He took the fifth, and that is his right. But all it does is lean into the idea that he has something to hide. We don't know that he does. But, you know, at some point, 2 + 2 has to equal 4. And he's the president's doctor. The president was demonstrably suffering from some sort of mental incapacity. Somebody has to answer for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I think that when you're married to someone that's in that capacity, you bring in the spouse, you have Dr. Jill Biden, who would have been fully aware. I want to know what kind of decisions were being made at that point, too. And considering the role that you had as president of the United States of America, we're not talking about, you know, someone that's got a desk job that, could be in name only. But this is someone that's a very hands-on position. It's very necessary for them to be at the top of their game when they are in that position. It's obvious that he was not. I don't know where you go from this. I know there's a lot of other people you can have testify and discuss where the health was. And I think eventually we'll get some answers on this, but not from the doctor. And I think he'll go down as being on the wrong side of the conspiracy.
I think you're right. He's going to be on the wrong side of history here. And I do think you're going to get some answers. They may have to give somebody immunity here so that they're free to testify and won't take the fifth. And that may get you to the point where you can overcome what is clearly going to be, and as it says on the Ops Desk, which is the piece that you're referring to, that's the Substack, opsdesk.org, the intent issue. Because you're going to get a lot of confusion, you're going to get a lot of people who are saying, well, I didn't realize the president was that bad off, and I was taking him at his word, and I didn't realize that he was just doing what Jill Biden told him to do. And so that's got to be overcome. And what you're going to need is somebody who had enough access to say, look, I saw the president really didn't know what I was asking him. And yet Jill Biden or Anita Dunn or Alejandro Mayorkas or this doctor which is not an unprecedented thing in American history, that the doctor ends up issuing executive orders that people follow. And a lot of it is going to devolve to the auto pen. As we've seen, the auto pen signatures match the pardons, except for Hunter Biden's pardon, which apparently they were aware enough to say the president himself better sign that one. But apparently, according to the reporting, all the other ones match, meaning the auto pen. And so that calls those into question. There is case law and previous decisions that were issued by the lawyers down in D.C. that looked at this hard, that said, OK, we are comfortable with certain decisions being devolved from the president to his proxies. But there are substantive things that have to come from the president that can't be auto-penned. And I think it's going to get into that morass, and it's going to come down to how purposeful the intent, again, was it that people were defrauding essentially the American public, because that is a crime and it is prosecutable.
Yeah, and part of this, I don't think they're going to be able, a lot of the people around him, close cabinet members, those that should have regular communication with the president of the United States, be able to just say, oh, I didn't know. I don't think it can do. They're supposed to be bright individuals. If you're elevated to that type of level in government and you're saying, oh, you're not having regular meetings or conversations, you're seeing the president go on long vacations where you can't reach them, you're taking orders from proxies or Dr. Jill Biden, the first lady, as opposed to the president, and you're noticing some key decisions being made without the person that should be your boss in the room, you can't deny that, oh, I didn't know what was going on at that point. These are supposed to be bright people, and they can't just claim ignorance on this.
Well, I think you go right to the legal heart of it here. And again, it goes to the intent issue. You know, there is such a thing as willful ignorance. And if you are put into a grand jury relative to a potential criminal prosecution, and that is the ultimate lever here, you know, you have a DOJ now that will do it, as like, unlike under Joe Biden, which it was a DOJ that just didn't seem to want to prosecute anybody under any circumstances. You have a DOJ here that is beholden to Donald Trump. And if he says, I want you to go all the way with this, and it looks like they are, because the American public does want answers here, you put that person that you're talking about into the grand jury, and they start saying things like, well, yeah, I saw the president every day. Yeah, he couldn't formulate the words, but I didn't realize. It's going to come down to, well, you know what? You're lying. We don't believe you. That's potentially another charge. If you're lying during an investigation, it's called 1001 USC 18, 1001. And that person is not going to be believed by the grand jury. They're going to get indicted. And that's where it all goes. And that's what I meant by the intent, you know, to claim willfully, you know, just a willful blindness. You know, you were purposefully ignorant. It's not going to get you off the hook here. It's going to take some legal machinations. It's going to have to be looked at close. It's going to have to be finessed. But at the end of the day, more than seeing people locked up in the key throwing, being thrown away, I think what we need to really see, and I think what would satisfy the American public, is the truth. Some clarity on what the heck went on here with our nation. Who ran the place for 4 years? It really became apparent in the last 2 years of the administration that it wasn't the president. And we got to make sure it doesn't happen again, because this is no way to run a republic.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and we're only 7 months removed from Joe Biden being in office. If he is really as acute as they say he is and all the people that are defending him, he can answer for himself. He can get in front of people and answer these same questions and put this all to rest, but he's not capable of doing that. It's not like we're removed years from the situation and there could have been a sudden downfall. We're talking months away from this situation. So you're right, there's a lot of these things. But for the sake of time, I wanted to ask you, because we're coming up on the anniversary of the attempted assassination in Butler, Pennsylvania. The 1 year anniversary is coming up this weekend. Are there still questions to that event? Are there things we don't know about that?
Well, the full report hasn't been issued relative to, like, you have to say to yourself, okay, we just learned that in February, six members of the Secret Service were suspended without pay, which is a pretty good hit. They weren't, they kept their jobs. You have to say, okay, well, why them? you know, and I don't think that's entirely clear what exactly balls were dropped. We know the planning was blown. We know the communications at the location were blown. So was it as simple as the bosses, because it was management class that were suspended here, the management in the Pittsburgh field office who were covering Butler, was it as simple as, hey, it was a hot summer weekend and they just didn't want to go out to Butler? You know, I think there still are a lot of questions there. And of course, there are questions around Thomas Crooks, although I am going to zig while everybody zags. It is entirely, I've never bought the idea that he was some kind of Iranian cat's paw, that he'd been catfished into this by some foreign entity. They're not going to use a knucklehead like that. The idea that he had foreign apps on his phone, I have probably five foreign apps on my phone, whatever they are, they're not nefarious. So I always thought that was a bogus storyline as well. It's like a little bit like the Lee Harvey Oswald thing where, you know what, people feel like it has to be a bigger answer than just it was a local kook who had the gun, who managed to penetrate a very weak perimeter because the service was out to lunch and managed to do what he did. And there, but for the grace of God, we got away with it. The only other thing embedded in there real quick is that I feel like an unanswered question is why the following. The parents of Thomas Crooks knew that he had gone MIA with a gun. They knew, they had to know, it was all over the papers out there. It's a big deal that the president of the United States, or the potential future president of the United States, was going to be in the area giving a speech. If you're the cops and you get that call, was that conveyed to the service and was that ball dropped? Were they aware of a threat before Thomas Crooks was ever cited at the event? I've never heard that answered out as well. And if it were up to me, that's a question I'd like to put to Alejandro Mayorkas, who, as we all know now, seems to be MIA entirely.
Right. And let's not forget that is a murder scene. Someone did die because of
that. That's right.
It's for the very least, even if you hate Donald Trump, at the very least, I think his widow and his family deserves answers of what happened there that day.
Absolutely.
So you have the ops desk. If people wanted to look you up online and some of the things you're doing, where can they go?
Yeah, opsdesk.org will take you to the Substack, and you can look me up on, you know, I'm on Twitter, I'm on all these things, you know, they do it for me. But yeah, opsdesk.org will take you to the website, and hope to see you there, and, you know, feel free to opine. We're always looking to people, you know, to give their opinions. That makes it fun.
Paul Morrow, I said you're a rising star through Fox, and the ops desk is a very great resource. Thank you so much for joining us here today.
Ryan, thanks for having me, buddy.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.